This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can be over here and that we know we've got an appointment with you, that you want to speak to us. And then the door which is giving access to you, Father, is Jesus Christ. He died for our sins at the cross so that we do not have to die for our own sins. And through Jesus Christ, we can enter the throne room. And through Jesus Christ, we can start listening to you. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us this afternoon of what is in your heart, what you want to share with us today, with whom you've got an appointment today, Father. And thank you that we can come with an expectation, because you are our Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God wants to have a covenant with us. And then you must probably start thinking, okay, what is a covenant? What is what God actually wants? What is it what he wants to do with us? And what a covenant means, it's in the terms of an agreement, but it's an ungodly agreement. It's a legal agreement. There are certain promises which are there, but there are also certain duties, certain obligations which are on the other side. So it's basically going both sides. But then also what God's covenant is doing, it's a spiritual agreement, an agreement between us human beings and God. And that's why it has got such a specific name. And God wants to speak to us this afternoon about that covenant, what he started with Abraham. Because God wants to, he wants to be connected up with us. And if we go back and we start totally at the beginning, then it's the creation. God created heaven and earth. It's his creation. Yes, outside, they maybe think a little bit different, but I believe what's written in the Word. And the Word said that God created heaven and earth. And he created everything. And then the problem with Adam and Eve had, that they sinned over there, and that their relationship was broken. And it wasn't that God said, sorry, this is one which was made on a Friday afternoon, and walks away from it. No, God is not doing like that. It's his creation. He's involved in it. He's interested in it. And he knows each and every one of us, is what I just now quoted Psalm 139 as well. He knows each and every one, and he loves each and every one of us. So God came, and he was continuously wanted to be involved with his creation. And then he saw Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and then the people really got wicked. And then the Lord said, there's only one way what I can do it. Today's term, and I think you maybe can help me a little bit over there, we call it a reboot. You restart the whole system again. And God did exactly the same with Noah. He told Noah, build a boat, get the people on the boat who want to go along. And I still, when I'm going to be in heaven, I'm going to ask Noah, how many beds did you have on that boat? Did you only have beds for yourself and your children? Or were there more beds? That he was basically expecting that other people were also going to come and were going to be saved as well. At least it was only Noah and his family. And then God made them a covenant with Noah and his family. And that we can read in Genesis 9. Then God spoke to Noah, to his sons with him, and said, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. And with every living creature that is within you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, and all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant. This is not God speaking then. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. So God made a covenant with what he created over there. But we human beings, the same as what Adam and Eve did in the beginning, the clang of Noah, they came together and they thought they're going to build a big tower, much, much higher as what the Dom Tower in Utrecht is over here. They're going to build a tower which is going to reach into heaven, and they're going to have a little bit of a look in the office of God at the top and see how he's doing and what he's doing. They thought they could do that, and they started building, and I think God must have had a look at it and shaken his head and said, guys, what are you doing? And then he gave the different languages. Now, we've got quite a few languages over here. I tried just now to speak a little bit German, but that was already difficult for me. They couldn't speak to each other, so they went everywhere, and they went to all the different places. And then later on, God came back again to his creation, and he went to a specific person. And that's the person who we're going to speak this afternoon about. That's Abraham. At that time, his name was still Abraham. He wasn't Abraham yet. And God spoke to him, and God said to him, to Abraham, God spoke to him, didn't send the SMS, didn't send the WhatsApp, didn't send him an email or anything like that, spoke to him. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the family of the earth shall be blessed. God went to a specific person because he was doing a thing what God was looking for. He wasn't only believing, but he was also obeying. He was doing what God was telling him to do. Which means in our heart we can say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. But if it comes to a certain decision what I've got to take, that I'm going to spend time with God, or that I'm going to watch the movie or go to a soccer game or whatever, that's then where your Christianity is coming through. That's then where your relationship with God is coming through. And that is what we read over here. God specifically went to Abraham because he believed and he obeyed. He obeyed what God was telling him to do. And then God changed his name. And it's interesting, it's apparently in that culture that it was quite common. If something dramatic was happening, then you were changing your name. And we know that. We've seen it a few times in the Bible. We've seen it with Jesus, Simon, and Peter. We've seen it with Jacob and Israel. We've seen the name changes. But over here as well, we see the name changing from Abraham to Abraham. And the Lord said to him, no longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Abraham means a high father. So from a high father, he became now a father of multitudes. So God was actually putting a promise already on the table for Abraham, because at that time he didn't have any children, and said, you're going to be a father of many nations. God did exactly the same with his wife, Sarai. And I had a look at it and I thought, why is God speaking to Abraham? But it must have been a reason. I don't know why he spoke directly to Sarah, of Sarai, and said, okay, your name is going to change. But then her name changed from Sarai to Sarah. And Sarai means princess. But Sarai of Sarah means that you are princess of a multitude. So we can see the multitude, we can see the duplication. God put in both names, so God had a plan with them, because what they were doing was according to God's will. And then we come to the covenant of circumcision, and I'm glad they stopped it, that we do not have to be circumcised anymore. But at that time, they had to do it. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations. God is speaking again to Abraham about generations to come. He's talking about promises what are going to come. He's nearly building up already an expectation with Abraham, because God is talking about his descendants. And your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. So God wants to be involved in his family, and I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Abram's tent is standing in that land, what God is going to promise him now. So God is making already again the promise, said this land is going to be to your descendants. So God is talking about children, he's talking about land which is going to be of his descendants, but Abram at the moment has got nothing. He hasn't got a child yet. He's still living in a tent. Some people are doing it this time of the year as well, but that is, they call it a holiday. But at that time, he was living in a tent. And I can tell you, I don't want to live in a tent. I want to have walls around me with windows which I can close, and if the wind is blowing, that I don't have to go outside and hammer those pins deeper in. That's not for me a holiday. That's not for me a house. And God said to Abram about this covenant of circumcision, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants, after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant with you, which you shall keep, between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And then God is telling about Isaac, which is going to be born. Because Abraham is in conversation with God, and he says, the servant which was born in my house is, according to ritual, going to be the heir. He's going to inherit it, all what I've got over here. He's already thinking about it. So he's not thinking about the promise what God already made, but he's thinking of reality. What is actually reality? What's happening at the moment in his house? And then God speaks to him, and he said, behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, this one shall not be your heir. The servant which is born in your family, in your house, is not going to be your heir. But one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and the stars, and if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. We must probably have heard that before, that God took then Abram outside and said, have a look at all the stars. We do not see so many stars in the Netherlands over here when it is cloudy, but in certain places you can see stars. And once you start counting, you actually cannot stop counting, because then you see another one and another one and another deeper and smaller, and you simply cannot stop counting. And this is what the promise what God made to Abram. These are going to be your heirs. Those people are going to be your heirs, and not the one which is in your house. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness, because he believed in the Lord, and that was bringing him in a right relationship with God, in a right relationship with God's will. We read it in James 2 as well, and the scriptures were fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. If you're a friend of God, then you are communicating. You're communicating with your friend as well. You're sending messages. You're receiving messages. And this is what Abraham was doing. He was communicating with God. And then Isaac is born when Abraham was approximately 100 years old. And then Hagar and Ishmael, because what happened is that Abraham got a child with the servant of Sarah. Again, according to tradition, if you allow the first son of whoever wife is born is in your house, then that first son is going to inherit it, whatever you've got over there. But if you specifically want your child, your first son, that your first son is going to inherit, meaning the one of your first wife, then you must send the wife who got the first child, if it's your second wife or your third wife. And I'm not telling that you should get more than one wife, but I'm just talking about at that time the culture. Then you've got to send that person away with the child. By that, you're showing you're not going to inherit anything from me. And this is what's happened as well. And Sarah, you said it. And therefore Sarah said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And then we come to the story of where Abraham was tested, where God spoke to him and said, Abraham. And then he reacted and he said, you've got to offer your son, you've got to sacrifice your son. And then immediately, early the next morning. So it's not a matter that he's first thinking about it, that he's first discussing it with other people. He's obedient to what has got to be done. And this is for me always so beautiful, that what they say, immediately, early the next morning, they reacted. We can see it with Joshua as well. Those people are serious with the instructions of God. Immediately the next day, they are doing it. Then he took his son, Isaac, he took wood, he took fire, and he took two other people, young men along, and then they started walking to the mountains. And God said to them, Mount Moriah, in that area you must go. And I'll tell you later on exactly where you've got to go and where you've got to sacrifice, where you've got to offer your son Isaac. And they walked and they walked and they came then at the final end to the, more or less to the close to the destination. And he said to the two, you do not have to carry on any further. I'm going along with Isaac, and the two of us are going. And then Isaac is asking that beautiful thing. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I'm a father, and if a child comes to me, if it's my own children or my grandchildren, and they come to you, and they say, my father, that's the most beautiful thing that you can hear. If a child is saying to you, my father, take a look at our father, what Jesus taught the disciples to prayer. Our father. And this is how we've got to approach our father as well. But this is how Isaac went then to Abraham and said, my father, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for him the lamb for a burnt offering. Can we read between the lines? That's Jesus. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And then Isaac is happy. He's happy what his dad is saying. And he's carrying on. And then Abraham is tested over there. He is good to do what God is telling him to do. He had to leave the country of where he was. We sometimes also have got it in our own lives that God is asking us something to do which is very difficult for us, which we actually run away from. We don't want to do it. And then God required Abraham to trust him for that promise. 25 years he waited for that child. 25 years he was putting a trust on God. And we will say, well, we must probably after a week or two, we already say, God, where is that message? Where is Abraham waited 25 years? From the age of 75 till 100, he waited. And then you're already in that stage that you say, well, logically, you're not going to get a child anymore because you're already at that age. But he still trusted. He still trusted. And then the testing is coming. The testing of, but God is testing him. How is he going to do it? And then they came to the place what God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac was not a young boy anymore. Because when they went up the mountain, he had to carry the wood. Now, if you've got to carry the wood, then you must be, physically, you must be a little bit larger. But he, together with his dad, are obedient to what God is saying. And Isaac is allowing his dad to bound him there and to lay him on the wood. And then Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord came to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. The first time he only said once, Abraham. This time he said twice, just to make sure that Abraham is hearing him this time. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or anything of him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. That was the testing, what God did. I actually cannot figure out how Abram was thinking. If you take a look at how God was building those promises, you've been waiting 25 years, then the child is coming. And then God is asking you that you must offer that child. But he was believing that it was going to be, that the son was going to be resurrected again. But that we can read in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he had received the promises offered of his begotten son, only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So that was Abraham thinking, I'm going to kill my son, but I still believe that God can resurrect him, that still something can happen over there. And it's interesting that they're not quite sure exactly where that place was. They're talking about Mount Moriah, and that's the same mountain where also the temple has been built on and where part of Jerusalem has been built on. If it's exactly the same place, we're not quite sure. Because if we take a look at the Mount Moriah at the moment, we've got part of the temple standing over there, but then we also have got the Dome on the Rock, which is from the Islamic people, and they believe from that place that Muhammad descended to heaven on a horse. So there's a lot of fight actually for that specific spot. But there's no surety about it of what is actually the right place where Abraham had to offer his son then. But then it's not finished. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thickness by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name, the place, the Lord will provide. And if we go and have a look at the language, then it says over there, Jehovah Jireh. And it's one of the names which has been given to God. God has got approximately close to 1,000 different names and descriptions in the Bible. And I think even those thousands are not explaining exactly who God is, how awesome and how great and how wonderful he is. Abraham didn't say anything that he was angry with God. He didn't say anything that he was complaining with God whatsoever. He just did what God was telling him to do, and he let God provide as it was necessary over there. Because what is a provider, actually? A provider is a person who is seeing that you need a certain thing, and then he's also giving it. He's also providing that thing. So there are two parts in it, in that word provider. So he's seeing it. God was seeing it, what he needed over there. This is why Abraham said over there, you can see what I need. And then God was also giving him what he needed over there. And God is our provider. God is my provider. God is the provider who sees what we need, and he will give it. Sometimes God is giving us something, and then we actually say that's not what we were looking for. I asked for a red Mercedes, but now I got a small Volkswagen. It's not exactly what I was looking for. But the beauty of it, that God is giving you, which is good enough for the things that you've got to do, because you had to go from point A to point B. You don't need a Mercedes for that. You can do it in a Volkswagen as well. But sometimes we come, and when we think we need something, we nearly come with a type of a prescription beforehand as well. We said to God, okay, this is what I need, and you want to use me, you want me to do this and that and that, but for that I will need all these things. Here's my piece of paper. Give it to me, then I can do the job correctly. This is the way we see it, but God is seeing it another way. And God will provide whatever is necessary that you can do what God is asking you to do. Exactly the same as what he also did with Abraham. Because each and every time, God is providing more of himself. And the first thing is also that we shouldn't ask for God to provide us, let's say, in a material thing, but we should ask him that he should provide us in a spiritual thing. And what a spiritual is concerned, God has already provided through Jesus Christ whatever we need. Because through Jesus Christ, we already have got eternal life. So we actually have got already full price. So, yeah, it's maybe nice if we can stay in a three-bedroom house instead of in a two-bedroom apartment. It's maybe nice, but it doesn't make any difference in the everlasting life after that. Matthew 6 also says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And then I also wrote down something what I read about John Piper, who once asked and said, "What is the deepest root of your joy? Is it what God gives to you or what God is to you?" And I think all of us will agree, it's not what God is giving to us, but who God is for us. That is giving us joy. God's ultimate provision has already been given in the gospel. And we are actually in a privileged situation. If we take a look at Abraham, the thing still had to come. He didn't see of those descendants of him staying in the promised land. He didn't see anything like that. He didn't see all the Israelites with the different tribes and so on staying in the land Canaan. He didn't see it. It was a promise which was given to Abraham then. But we again, we are after Jesus. We are actually privileged that we already know that Jesus was there, that Jesus, what Jesus has done, and that through Jesus that we've got eternal life. I'm coming now a little bit to the end, and I want to finish off with the part after this whole testing period of what happened then. And then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, said the Lord, because you have done this thing, I have not withheld your son, your only son." Abraham was prepared to give everything we had. The son where he's been waiting for 25 years, he was prepared to give it. God was prepared to give his only begotten son so that we can have eternal life. "By myself I've sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants at the stars of the heaven and the sands which are on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of the enemy." Your descendants shall possess the gates of the enemy. If you possess the gates of the enemy, it means you are in control over there. Because at the gates, this is where the decisions were taken. This is where justice was spoken. And God says over there, your descendants shall possess the gates of the enemy. We heard exactly the same when Jesus was speaking to Peter. Gates of Hades shall not prevail it. We are stronger. We've got more. We are possessing the authority. And then he carries on. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Because you obeyed my voice. We saw it before as well. God went to Abraham because he was a believer and he obeyed. And over here again, we see that the angel is exactly the same again. Because you've obeyed my voice. God is providing whatever we need to have a relationship with him. God is providing whatever we need to have a relationship with him. It's not a matter of that I can go to God, or that I've got to go to God, or that I feel I've got to go to God and say, "I cannot have a relationship with you." We all can have a relationship with God. God is providing all the ingredients what are necessary that we can have a relationship with God. And then we can be in a right relationship with him. Then we can be righteous with him. But if we've got a relationship with God, he's drawing us out of our comfort zone. And if we're really obeying, and if we're listening what God is telling us. And it's also that we've got to trust God in certain circumstances. You don't know how, what, you're doing a thing because God is telling you, and you're just trusting, because this is what God had told you, and you're obedient, as was Abraham was obedient. And sometimes you even get an instruction from him, which doesn't make any sense, And he said, but Lord, how is it possible? Because if we read this story now from Abraham, you can make a beautiful movie out of it. But he said, but it doesn't make sense. Why is God building all the promises to Abraham and then he puts him in such a difficult position? But he is testing him. We sometimes have got it in our own lives as well, that we all also test it. But God is a provider. He's the Jehovah Jireh, and he wants to provide whatever we need to do his work, to be obedient. What I'm going to do now is that we're going to play one song, and in that song, I'm going to ask you, and this is why I've put the pens and the pieces of paper for you over there, write down what you would like that God is going to give to you. And if you need a red Mercedes to do your work because it's critical, then write it down. But if it's something else which is on your heart, that you say, this is what God, this is what I need at the moment, this is what I need to do the work for your kingdom, write it down. And as you've written it down, I'm going to ask you to bring it here to the front. Because the reason that you're going to write it down, the reason that you're going to bring it forward, it means that you're serious with it. You want to be involved. You want to be obedient to what God is telling you to do, as Abraham was obedient. It could be that you say, I'm looking for a wife. It could be that you say, I need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to do the work, whatever is necessary. Maybe that you say, at the moment I'm at a specific place where I'm working, but I feel that's not the place where God wants me to be. Write it down. Say, Lord, I'm looking for a place where I can be an ambassador for your kingdom. Then ask God for it, that God is going to provide it. And God knows your circumstances. God sees your circumstances. And then we're going to trust that God is going to provide, because you were obedient in that way that you went to God and say, this is what I need. This is what I want to, what I would like to have so that I can do what you want me to do. It's not what you say, okay, this is what I would like to have, a nice bank account and that for your own pleasure, for your material. No, it's for what you would like to get from God so that you can do what God is asking you to do. And still bring a piece of paper and write something down. But I want to congratulate you, because what you've been doing now is that you wrote something down, you brought it to God because you trust God. You trust that he can provide in your life, and that he can provide what you need to do, the task that God is asking you to do. And I just want to pray about these, what you've written down. Father, I speak a blessing over each and every paper over here, Father. I speak a blessing over each and every word which was written over here. Father, I pray that you who are the provider, the Jehovah Jireh, you can see what the people are needing and that you are going to provide when they need it and how they need it in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, that we can give you all the glory and the honor as the provider in our lives in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.